supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dan Gottlieb. Thanks for listening to Voices in the Family. Any parent I've ever met tries the best they can to help their children, to do the right thing. They're usually understanding, compassionate, and pretty clear about what's in the best interest of their child. Except when they're divorcing. Fear, anger, righteous indignation, insecurity, and all of the other emotions that often impair a parent's vision about what truly is in their child's best interest. On today's show, we're going to be talking about what happens to children of divorce. See, some children suffer for a lifetime. In other situations, both children and parents thrive after divorce. So, what's the difference? Well, we have brought in three experts to help us understand what's the difference and how we can shift families from contentious to cooperative. First, we have Tara Eisenhardt. She's the author of the novel The D Word, Divorce Through a Child's Eyes. She joins us here in the studio. Tara, welcome.
Thank you.
And we have Roseanne Vanella, a friend of mine and colleague. She's a trained mediator who manages the website familyaffairs.com. Welcome, Roseanne.
Good afternoon, Dr. Dan.
And John T. Hayes. She's a social worker in Florida who specializes in families of contentious divorces. She's the author of the Monkey Book series, helping children and parents through difficult divorces. John T., thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
And if you want to join our conversation, if you are a product of a divorce, positive or negative, give us a call, 800-888-477-9499. Again, that's 888-477-9499. And if you are divorced or divorcing and are concerned about your child's emotional health, please, please give us a call. Tara, let's start with you. When we spoke last week, you told me your story. And my response, I don't know if you recall, but once you've told me your story, I paused for a minute and I said, you know, you're a freak of nature. You remember that?
Yes.
Which is a nice way to start a relationship. So tell us the story that prompted my response.
Well, my parents divorced when I was about 13 years old, and they had a wonderful divorce. They had been fighting in the house before that, and then once they separated, they became very cooperative. They became teammates with each other, and my sister and I both grew up with two very loving parents who supported us and just happened to live in different houses. And so I grew up thinking that divorce was a solution to a problem and not a problem in itself. I grew up thinking that divorce was a good thing for families. And I was an adult before I realized that I was a freak of nature.
Did you have any brothers, sisters?
I have a sister.
And older, younger?
Younger. She's about 8.5 years younger than me.
And would she say the same thing?
Yes.
Hmm. And then you got married.
And I got married, and then I got divorced.
Hmm. How come?
We were not very well suited. I actually married the little boy who sat behind me in fourth grade and used to pull my hair. Not a good match.
Yeah. And it's a little too young to get married to fourth grade. Do you have any children?
No.
All right. So tell us about your divorce.
Well, when I got divorced, operating off of the model that my parents set for me, my ex-husband and I were very honest about the state of our relationship, and we realized that we weren't very well suited for each other. We just weren't compatible on many different levels. And so we stated that honesty and decided that the best thing to do would be for us to separate. And we were very cooperative through that process. We sat down at a Chinese restaurant on the same side of the booth and kind of worked out our divorce agreement. I didn't meet my attorney in person ever. I didn't call him until everything was already done. And my ex and I had a business together that we did everything by ourselves. And
what happened to that business? I'm curious.
He kept it.
Yeah.
It was his.
Yeah. There's one last issue I want to bring up with you, and I want to hear John to weigh in on this. How did your parents tell the two of you that they were divorcing, and how did the two of you react initially?
Well, initially it was very scary. We actually overheard them having an argument in which my mom said, "Oh, get a lawyer, I can't talk to you anymore." And then they started to fight about who was going to move out. And it was really scary.
You were listening to this.
Yeah, they were in a different room. And my sister and I both overheard them. Mm-hmm. And it was really scary. It was very uncertain. After that, I had conversations with both of them independently. They mm-hmm. both talked to me on their own and kind of said that they didn't know what was going to happen. But when they knew, I would know. And then it was actually a couple months later, and very similar to what happened in my book. I was on my way to go on vacation, and my mom told me that my dad was going to move out while I was gone.
And when did you hear the D word, which is the title of your book?
I don't know when the word was actually spoken, honestly. It was just kind of, I remember just sort of assuming that was what was happening.
John T., I'm going to bring you in here. Is there a best way to tell children?
Well, ideally, I think the best way is to have both parents be able to do it together with the children. And in my first book, I talk about the parents being on the same page as to what they want to tell the children. And the way that I coach parents is I ask them to ask themselves, how do they want their children to experience this news?
And then we're
very clear also about if there's one person, and that often happens, who's really rooted in a lot of anger or resentment, and they really don't feel as though they can talk to their children without blaming the other parent, or if they're going to start to argue to their parent, or say negative things about the other parent, then I encourage them to do it separately. But if all possible, I think it's better for the children to be able to see them do it in person together.
When I was getting divorced, my wife and I did it together. We're in the same room. Both my daughters were there. They were not roughly around Tara's age, both my daughters. And my wife said nothing. I told them, and I just began to sob.
Oh, yes,
and,
I know.
And in hindsight, would you have recommended I get my emotions in check first or not?
You know, actually, it's funny because I have some personal experience with that, but my first response on a therapeutic level would be no. I think that it's okay for your kids to see that you're grieving and this is hard, because that is the reality of it, and they know that you're human. And I think if your kids view you as just being very cold and matter-of-fact about it, if you're not careful, they might take that message of, I need to be cold and matter-of-fact about it, that it's not okay to have emotions or to have any kind of reaction to that. But, I preface that with saying that it's also important to explain to your kids that this kind of emotion is normal, that you may see us crying, you may see us at times feeling like we're falling apart. It's okay. It's supposed to be this way in many cases, but we get through it.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the impact of divorce on children of a variety of ages. My guests, Tara Eisenhardt, Roseanne Vanella, John T. Hayes, are all specializing in different aspects of this. Our number is 888-477-9499. We'll be going to your calls in just a few minutes. 888-477-9499. I do want to mention we've got an awful lot of articles. Many were supplied by our guests and other articles on our web page. So please, please check it out. It's whyy.org/voices. Roseanne, you're a professional mediator, and you've dealt with these post-divorce conflicts. But my understanding of mediation is both parents have to be at least agree to mediate, agree on a common goal?
Yeah, well, in the mediation process, couples are agreeing to come to mediate together the issues of their divorce instead of going and hiring an attorney to represent them. So all of the issues that we've discussed here takes part in the mediation process. The children are the focus when you're mediating a divorce. So everything we discussed is discussed in mediation. We discuss many parents that come to mediate their divorce will naturally come before they've told their children. So in part of the mediation process, we'll actually sit and discuss, have you told the children? No. Well, what's the appropriate way to tell your children? And many times as a professional family mediator, I will say to them, do you have a therapist that you're working with? I'll recommend therapists that they can work with either together or as a family. That's part of mediation.
Well, when I'm working with an individual and I recommend a therapist, they usually say, or no, let me put it the opposite way. When I recommend mediation, you know, they think it's a different kind of therapy, and they said, I'm done trying to work things out with that idiot.
That's a misconception. Mediation is not therapy. Mediation is an alternative to litigation. Mediation is the alternative to hiring two separate attorneys to represent each person. So in mediation, the parties have to be willing to come and utilize a neutral third party, which would be the mediator, me. And they work through all of the issues of their divorce, the parenting plan, child support, equitable distribution, separating all of their assets, alimony.
That's done in mediation.
Yes.
All right. So I want to come back to you, Jonte. You, an awful lot of people you see are court adjudicated.
Yes. Yeah. About 75% of the ones that come to see me, those issues are.
Yeah, it reminds me of the very common phrase lawyers say that criminal lawyers see bad people at their best and matrimonial lawyers see good people at their worst. So if they're sent to you by the courts, that they've got to be down that road quite a bit of being pretty contentious and beating each other up.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. A lot of them, it's, you know, I call it chronic litigation. And I'll say this, about half of the cases that come through my door that are court mandated to come into counseling are actually already divorced and have been for quite some time. I've had one family that was actually divorced 10 years, and they were still going through the court system. It was just like, it's like irritable bowel syndrome. You just have these flare-ups out of nowhere where they would take each other back to court. And, of course, when they come through my door, it's because that they're parents. And so I work specifically with the children and the families to deal with the negative effects of divorce. Or I won't even say divorce. Let's just say, I just want to say it's a chronic conflict that it has on children.
I want to bring up a bigger, broader issue, and I want to come back to you, Tara. There's an article published in Scientific American last year that might indicate, sadly, that you're not such a freak of nature, after all. That according to a 2002 study, they found that most children experience short-term negative effects, especially anxiety, anger, and shock, like your very self. But for the majority of children, these reactions typically diminish or disappear by the end of the second year. Now, I know you've been steeped in the literature for many years now. What have you found? What's your experience? Not your personal one, but what have you been finding out in the literature?
Very much the same things, actually. And I think that it depends a lot on how well the parents deal with it. I think that in the beginning, it's very difficult for everybody. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of uncertainty for the parents as well as the children. And therefore, the whole family is going to experience those issues. But then as time goes on and the parents kind of settle down, they recouple. That's what happened in my life as well. And the parents recouple and they kind of establish a new normal for the family. The children naturally fall into that. And as long as there isn't continuous, contentious communications going on, everybody can sort of, you know, find a new place to be at ease.
Well, you know, Roseanne, you and Jonty and I, we are like, the dentists. People don't come to us unless they have a toothache. So,
right.
We don't see that population, and in effect, that does tend to bias us about the way divorce looks. So I want to know about how we get these families from A to B, from high conflict to cooperation. Could you start that, Roseanne? I want to hear Jonty weigh in.
Sure. You know, when couples first walk into my office, of course there's a lot of tension. They're starting a divorce process. It's the unknown. Everybody's nervous. There's been a lot of conflict. You know, it usually takes a couple of years for couples to go through the unhappiness, the fighting, to actually finally come to the decision and decide, you know what, we're going to divorce. So when they first walk in my office, they're nervous, and you spend time talking to them and getting to understand and know what's going on, what their family is all about. And I take time to really talk to them and have them explain what do they envision their lives are going to look like once they're divorced.
So one of the things you're doing is cognitive therapy, whether you know it or not. And that's envision beyond this conflict.
But as a mediator, it helps me to understand how they want their lives to be in terms of with the children. How do they want to spend their parenting time? Where are the kids going to live? How close do they want to be, you know, in proximity to one another? How much back and forth is there going to be with parenting time? And then what I explain to them is that they can really work through anything as long as they work together. That we can work through anything as long as we communicate.
One of the things I like very much is that you're asking them to think about things they don't usually think about, and that's long-term, that's beyond this crisis now, so that one of the things we all need to do in our lives whenever we're in crisis is to realize that this is a moment.
Yes.
In our lives, and it's not the moment, and it's going to be different tomorrow. Maybe not better, but it's sure going to be different. And
right.
There'll be another moment coming around the corner. When we come back, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the kids and what happens with the kids and how they fare and what parents can do for them. I know all of you have some thoughts about that. We're talking about the impact of divorce on children. My guests are Tara Eisenhardt. She's the author of the novel The D Word, Divorce Through a Child's Eyes. Roseanne Vanella is a trained mediator and manages the website familyaffairs.com. That's a website that I frequently contribute to also. Jonty Hayes is a social worker in Florida. She specializes in families of contentious divorces. She's the author of the Monkey Book series, Helping Children Through Difficult Divorces. We've got a couple of lines open, so if you want to join the conversation, please give us a call. That's 888-477-9499. If you are divorced and concerned about your kids, or divorcing or considering divorce, this might be a good show for you to call in on. Well, I'm Dan Gottlieb. You're listening to Voices in the Family. It's right here on WHYY FM.
Good Shepherd Penn Partners supports WHYY. The Penn Institute for Rehabilitation Medicine provides inpatient rehab following a stroke, injury, or serious illness. Patients are medically managed by Penn Medicine physicians with rehabilitation provided by Good Shepherd Penn Partners therapists experienced in treating brain and traumatic injuries, stroke, neurologic illness, amputation, and more. Good Shepherd Penn Partners is the official therapy provider for Penn Medicine. Details at pennpartners.org or 877-969-7342.
The movies Next Stop Greenwich Village, Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice, Bloom in Love, Harry and Tonto, Moscow on the Hudson, and An Unmarried Woman were directed by Paul Mazursky. He died June 30th at the age of 84. On the next Fresh Air, we listen back to excerpts of the interviews we recorded in 1991 and 99. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
We're back on Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb, your host. We're talking about impact of divorce on children with John T. Hayes, Roseanne Vanilla, and Tara Eisenhart. Let's go right to the phones here. We've got Wendy on the line.
Hi, Dan. Good afternoon. Hi. My name's Wendy, and I had a question regarding those of us that have positive divorces. And our kids, for kids that are adapting well and whose parents are co-parenting effectively, do you recommend therapy for those kids for future problems down the road or potential roadblocks?
No. Now, I said that fairly emphatically. John T., I'll let you weigh in on this, but I've got strong feelings about this. First of all, if you send a child to therapy, they're going to feel as though there's something wrong with them when there's not. And our job, Wendy, with children, you know, it's we do with children like we do with plants. You know, we water them, we expose them to sunlight, we nurture their little souls, we give them a little bit of guidance, and we watch what happens. And, you know, I one of the chapters in my book is I called it Parenting is an Act of Faith. You know, we've got to have faith that these kids are okay. You know, just enjoy, Wendy. Enjoy. And don't fret about therapy. Listen, I just saved you a fortune. Just remember me for our next fundraiser, okay?
We'll put it in our college cup. Thank you.
Okay. John T., what are your thoughts about what Wendy said?
Well, I absolutely agree with everything that you had said, but what I will tell Wendy is there's nothing wrong with if you want to meet with a therapist who is, again, trained in dealing with divorce and children going through divorce, and you just want to do a check-in. Here's how I see my child doing. Here's the questions that they're having. Do you feel like I'm handling this okay from what you can see? Do you feel like that they're dealing with this okay? Is there any, you know, can you see any reason why I would need to bring them in? And there's nothing wrong with doing that to reassure yourself. But I do agree that just bringing them in for the sake of we got divorced, that means we must bring someone in, I think also sends that message that divorce has to be a bad thing that's happened to someone.
Mm. Yeah, I see. I see Tara here in the studio nodding her head and agreeing with you completely. Wendy, thanks so much for your call. You know, I want to talk about grandparents on both sides of the issue. You know, I've worked with couples who attribute, certainly one of the spouses, attribute their marriage difficulty to an in-law intervening, you know, and getting too controlling. I hear that very, very often. And I've also treated grandparents who are just heartbroken over, you know, when their child divorces, they just lose access to their children if you know, their child's not the custodial parent. So how do we work things out for grandparents and with Roseanne?
That's actually something that I address in the parenting plan, because I think it's very important that grandparents continue to have a role, if they've had a role, in raising the child. I know personally for me, my grandparents played an extremely important role in my life growing up. So that's something that I take the time to talk with the couple getting divorced, and that's something that I address. And I say, you know, what role do the grandparents play right now? And what role do we see them playing in the future? And do we need to map it out? Do we need to talk about it? And many times couples will say, no, we're good. They'll continue to have access to them. We're not going to stop it. We know that it's a big, important role. So,
okay, I'm going to take that question that you've asked, Roseanne. I'm going to turn to you, John T., and I'm going to say, okay, well, how's this? Nothing. That my in-law has been intrusive, controlling, has pulled my spouse out of this marriage. I got no boundaries, and I do hear that a great deal. And I have had enough. So, And these are my children, and I believe that that grandparent is hurting my children. So, there. And I'm sure you've heard that, and I've heard that a lot.
Absolutely. The approach that I usually take with that is bringing the parents in and really working with them on stepping outside of that paradigm of I'm the hurt, angry spouse, and just tapping into what I refer to in my books, the super parent, and really working on putting ego aside and ask them to just authentically look at what role has this grandparent played in this child's life? How has the child benefited from having that grandparent in their life? How could they continue to benefit? And really weighing that against the, and we'll just say that maybe the grandparent was very intrusive and did create a lot of problems in the marriage, but is the benefit that your child gets from having this person in their life, does that outweigh the negativity that you feel towards that grandparent? And I will also, you know, have parents come in with their former in-laws and discuss their concerns. You know, sometimes what unfortunately happens is the parent might be okay with the grandparents being involved, but the grandparent is so angry about, of course, this is usually for the person who chose to leave the marriage, that there's a lot of negative talk about that parent to the grandchild. And so the grandchild hears a lot of negativity about that. So I've been known to pull them all in, and we just lay all the cards on the table, and I'll talk, you know, to each about what it means to have those roles in their children's life. And then again, what is it like for that child when they're experiencing, whether it's a grandparent talking negatively about one of their parents, or what is it like for that child who's had this person in their life who's been, you know, just has loved them unconditionally and played such a good role in their life, and all of a sudden they're snatched out of their life. What is that like for that child?
Yeah.
And I make them walk through it.
So you take a different perspective, and I like the way you start off, excuse me, validating. So you can tell me that, yeah, my mother-in-law has been a pain in my butt for years, and she's part of the reason why I've lost all my hair. However, look at the children and what's really in their best interest. And I don't know if this happens without validation. You know, it without validation, it feels like you are disregarding me, disregarding my emotions, and trying to push me somewhere I don't necessarily want to go.
Well, when you're really trying to reach, and I just call it that, again, that super parent part of someone that is, I feel like, the most authentic part of us, because it's all just love and unconditional love at its purest. And there's no ego. But in order to reach that part of that parent, you really have to have them drop their walls. And I do believe that everything always starts with, they see me. they see me without judgment. They may not necessarily agree, but they see me without judgment, and they understand why I feel the way that I do and why I have done the things that I've done. So they feel there's a level of acceptance, but at the same time, I accept where you're at, but I know how much you love your child, and I'm really here to help you stay tapped into that super parent.
What you are providing, seeing them for who they are, understanding who they are, I mean, that's something all humans crave from birth to death.
Absolutely, and it's probably, you know, it's probably desired even more so when someone's going through something as devastating as a divorce, because, of course, you know, going through divorce, many people feel like they get ripped of many of their identities when that happens. But that's also, I think, the time, too, that really you can reach people, because that's when they're both raw.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, all three of you, all four of us, we got a ton of people who want to join the conversation. I'm going to stop hogging you all and let the callers join in with their questions. Let's start with James. James?
Hi, Dr. Dan. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
Well, I am currently in the middle of, I guess, a divorce. It's been, up until now, very amicable, and I'm still living with my wife. We have a son who is 8, and he is currently visiting my parents who live in Minnesota. He's actually been there for about 6 weeks now. And he is coming back this week and does not know anything about what's going on. And this is going to be a longer process than I think, you know, me just announcing that we're getting divorced and moving out. And I want to see what the folks there think about what a good time frame would be to talk to him about what's going on. I mean, do we need to wait until everything is finalized, or do we need to let him know as soon as he gets home, or what would be a good plan for that?
Jonty, that's going to go between you and me. You first.
All right. Well, I guess the first thing I would say is I wouldn't do it as soon as he returns home, because that's, you know, traveling and so forth. That's just a lot of stress on the body. So I would allow him to come home and to kind of integrate back into, you know, the family environment, whether that be a day or a few days. But my thoughts are is, you know, do be honest with him. Do be open with him. The more you can tell him what to expect and what to anticipate, I think the easier it's going to be for him, and it's going to reduce the amount of anxiety that he has. And again, and if there's things that you can't answer, I think it's okay to just simply say, and I think that Tara had said that her mother had done this. I don't know the answer to that yet, but I will let you know when I find that answer.
I also want to add on to that. Of course, I agree with everything Jonty said. You said one question in there about whether to wait until after the divorce, and certainly the answer there is no. Do it as soon as possible. But be aware, and Jonty mentioned this earlier in this show, give him time and space to be withdrawn, to be angry, to blame one of his parents. You know, like we said, even in the best case scenarios, it takes a while, and it takes a full range of emotions, and it's really important that he has permission to experience all of these emotions, and it's important that you and your wife also have that permission, too, not to act them out, but to feel them. Roseanne?
James, have you established your parenting plan yet?
We have talked about it. My brother has recently gotten divorced, and it was very, very contentious. And he is doing a schedule where I think they have 2 days with the one parent and 3 with another, and then back to the 2, and it basically alternates weekends.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure if that's kind of a good fit or what.
Okay. Well, another helpful tip and something that I tell my couples that I work with, once we develop the parenting plan, before you actually, one of you, moves out of the house physically, it's always helpful to start implementing the parenting time where, let's say that one of you is going to be with him from Sunday night to Wednesday night or Thursday night. Start implementing the plan while you're both living in the house. Mm. So he gets used to, I'm going to call it mommy time and daddy time separately. But while you're both still living in the house, because that will cut back on the anxiety.
I think that's a great idea. James, I wish you well. I wish your son well, too. And I sure hope this was helpful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the help.
All right. Take care of you, James. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the inner life of these parents. I got a very compelling email just this morning that I want to read. So we're talking about the impact of divorce on children with Roseanne Vanella. She's a trained mediator, and she runs also, in addition to the other things, Advanced Mediation Solutions and Cherry Hill, and that's her web address, advancedmediationsolutions.net. We're also joined by Tara Eisenhardt. She's the author of the novel The D Word, Divorce Through a Child's Eyes. And John T. Hayes is a social worker in Florida. This is her specialty, and she's written the Monkey Book series, Helping Children Through Difficult Divorces. Our number is 888-477-9499. Well, I'm Dan Gottlieb. You're listening to Voices in the Family right here on WHYY-FM.
International House Philadelphia supports WHYY. Events coming soon to International House. A screening of the Japanese ghost story anthology Kaidan on July 12th. Three early films by French New Wave filmmaker Godard on July 30th. And a new series, Wayfaring, Conversations on Travel, Art, and Culture, featuring artist Stephen Powers, also known as Espo, discussing his ongoing project, A Love Letter to the City, on September 18th. Full listing of events, tickets, and information at ihousephilly.org. International House Philadelphia, the hub of international culture.
I'm Robin Young. There are now thousands of little free libraries, small as birdhouses. Anyone can take books from them. But a 9-year-old from Kansas is now fighting officials who said he had to take his down.
It benefits reading. And as my mom said, it really benefits the community.
Next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
We are back on Voices in the Family. We're talking about the impact of divorce on children with Tara Eisenhardt, Roseanne Vanella, and John T. Hayes. I want to read that email I mentioned before the break. Now, I've taken out an awful lot of identifying characteristics. And this is a quote. I had an acrimonious divorce when my children were 2 and 9. It continued while the children were little on both sides, and I'm ashamed to say that, meaning the acrimony. Both of my children now are successful professionally as adults, but I haven't seen one set of grandchildren in over 2 years, and I only get to see the other grandchild of her other child, the other grandchild, only rarely. But my ex-spouse has less restrictions. She says, I was trying to do the right thing, but I obviously failed. So that's what I see in the wake of that, the tragedy of people who are trying to do the right thing. Their egos do get in the way. But, you know, in a way, it's understandable, Jonty. I mean, we are terrified. All of us who've gone through a divorce are terrified. We have no idea what the future is going to look like. We're scared economically, professionally, as far as parenting is concerned. And we're getting our identities ripped out of our grasp, whether we initiate it or not. We are terrified. We are angry. We can either beat the hell out of ourselves or our exes. And you know, I personally like the latter choice, you know? So this is an awful time for us. And now, you know, I'm listening to you people tell me that I should do it differently. You got to help me, Jonty.
Well, I don't think it's just about telling someone you should do it differently. I think it's about helping identify, again, how do you want to experience this? How do you want your child to experience this? What does that look like? And helping them keep in check is what you're wanting to create and what you're wanting to experience. Is this in alignment with your actions, with your behaviors?
That does make sense. And what I want is for somebody to do what you mentioned earlier. I want somebody to understand that I am suffering. Because when I'm going through this tsunami, which I also label a commonplace trauma, you know, I don't even know how much I'm suffering. I'm so focused on the outside. I don't even know how much I'm suffering. I need to be with somebody who gets it, who understands. Roseanne?
Absolutely.
I think the important message that we need to get out there is that divorce is the dissolution of a marriage. It does not have to be the dissolution of family.
Absolutely.
And Jonty, I think you just recently wrote an article that talks about that.
Yes.
That, I think, is the most important message that we can put out there to everyone.
And that's almost exactly what you've been saying, Tara.
Yes. Divorce is... marriage shouldn't survive at the expense of its participants, and families can evolve and not dissolve through that process.
Let's go back to the phones. We've got John on the line. Hey, John.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes. Sure.
I just wanted to share real quick. My wife and I are currently going through a divorce, and we have who's now a 4-year-old son together. He was only 3 a year ago when my wife and I first split up. And one of my largest concerns is, how is this going to affect my now 4-year-old son later on in life when he looks back at his childhood and he doesn't have any, you know, memories of family vacations, or he never grew up in a house where he had his original mom and dad living together as a family unit. I'm scared to death, to be honest with you.
What are you scared of, John?
I'm scared of what kind of distorted view he's going to have in his own head of what a real family should be, and I use the term real very loosely. I have high hopes that, you know, I'll meet someone, the right person one day, or maybe his mother will, and a solid marriage will become of that, and they're kind of things I'm hoping for. But getting back to a traditional marriage with your real mom, your real dad, waking up and having breakfast every day and enjoying weekend and family vacations together, he's going to miss out on all of that.
You know what this sounds like, John?
What does it sound like?
It sounds like you are in agony.
Every 24/7 agony. I couldn't put a better adjective on it.
Fear for him aside, this is grief. It sounds like it's coming out of every pore in your body. This is grief. And, you know, the Sufi saying, when the heart weeps for what it's lost, the soul rejoices for what it's found. John, you've got so much weeping ahead of you. Mourn. Mourn deeply. Cry all you want and need to cry. And then look at your son through a different lens. Go on.
I was going to say, I'd also like to, you know, to tell John that in just hearing you talk like this and how much you love your son and that you have these thoughts of how is this going to affect his future, how is this going to affect his perception, his belief systems of what family is or what it was like to have a good family. The very fact that you question that already tells me that you have everything that you need inside of you to heal from this and to transcend this and to help your son do this, because you have that awareness, you have that intention. And I think there's a lot of beautiful things that can come out of this for you and for your son and for your soon-to-be ex-wife. And it's a part of letting go, but it's also now an opening up to our beliefs about what a family has to be. Why can't a family be a father and his son? Or why can't a family be where you have two households with two fathers, two mothers? Again, I ask you to ask yourself, how do you want your child to experience this? You know, it's ideal. I mean, obviously, we think it's ideal to have that traditional nuclear family, but I think sometimes we get so focused on that that we don't see where the beauty can lie in all of the other options.
John, I've got one of my best friends in the world is 6 years old, and his mommy and daddy never lived together, and, you know, it took them a little while to learn to cooperate with one another, but they never lived together. And you know what? You ask him who his family is, and it's mommy and daddy and grandmom, and I'm honored to be included in that, in his vision of family. So there you go. There you go. So don't predict the future. You know, live where you are, and where you are right now is terribly painful and filled with grief. Don't try to fix anything right now. Just feel this and get through it, John.
I appreciate your insight. Thank you. Right. It's been helpful.
Take good care, John. Let's get another call in. Let's get Adina. Hi, Adina.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me on the show. And
sure.
Hi, Roseanne.
Hi, Adina.
Oh, friends.
So I am calling in both as somebody who's been through a divorce and also as a divorce coach, as somebody who now works with people who are going through this. And one of the things that I wanted to bring in, and it seems apropos on the tail end of John's story, too, is that something I didn't anticipate was my kids actually having a closer relationship with each of their parents after divorce than I think they did before divorce. And them having learned some things that were really important, and one of the most powerful things that stood out for me is that I was definitely somebody who was a pleaser and taking care of everybody's needs and kind of putting my own on the back burner. And recently had this experience where my child, my daughter, was able to reflect back and really make a decision that was good for her when she was grappling with, should I make a decision that's pleasing people or should I make a decision that's good for me? And that she took that from the transformation that we'd made and then watching them grow into a new relationship with their dad. And so all the fears that I certainly had, I know my husband, ex-husband had, and that other people have about family, that there was this great transformation and ability to even become closer after divorce.
I so agree with that. I 100% do, because I see it all the time.
I want you to just comment briefly, John T., about what your story is. You were talking about being at a funeral when we spoke on the phone. You wrote an article for Family Affairs.
Right.
How you and your husband were sitting in the ICU as his brother,
yes,
Jack was coming to the end of life. Tell us about that story.
Yes. My husband and I have been married for almost 22 years, and we have been physically separated for 10 months. And it's just, I just have to say, it's so funny when you had said earlier that, was it okay that you started to bawl when you were telling your kids? Well, my husband and I were telling my son and my daughter, who were teenagers, we started to bawl, both of us. We were sitting on the couch, we were holding hands, and we were talking, and we were a mess. And my kids were, I think they were so shocked to see us just be so emotional that they just kind of stared at us. But I think they appreciated because they saw how authentic we were, and that it was painful for us, but we were doing it in love. But anyways, so my husband and I have been separated, and we've worked very hard to try and continue to have an opportunity for our children to still experience us as a family. And we do dinners every Sunday night, and we watch The Walking Dead. That's our thing when the season's on. We enjoy that time. And there's times where it's very comfortable, I have to say, and there's times where it's a little bit uncomfortable. And I'm talking about just between my husband mm-hmm. and I. But when we've made that decision of, but again, what we want our children to have is an experience to still have us all together. And it's also a time where we can address issues that need to be addressed, like, you know, you know, how come you didn't study for that test, or things like that.
I do have to say, John T., we are ending the show as we began with Tara about the good things that happen. And I really want to underscore, not everybody suffers in the long run following divorce. Many, many people do separate and thrive. I want to thank all three of you so much for joining us. Tara Eisenhardt, Roseanne Vanella, and John T. Hayes. Thanks to all three of you. Next week on Voices in the Family, we're going to be talking about how to handle pushy coworkers and be a good colleague without being an office doormat. So many people, we're learning, don't know how they come across in the office. If you've got questions or comments about that topic, please email us. We're at voices@whyy.org. You can send us a tweet. We're at Voices in the Fam, and we will bring it up next week. Well, to download our podcasts, we're at whyy.org/voices, and I'm at drdangottlieb.com. We love to hear from you. The engineer for today's show has been Al Banks. Lindsay Carfagno is our summer intern. Elizabeth Perez-Luner is our executive producer of audio content. Emily Haas is our production assistant. Mike and Scott's our EP. Gita Simons is our producer. And I'm Dan Gottlieb.
You're listening to